We'll be it.
Well, that would be it. This is Ghostly Talk, a special edition.
Very special edition.
Of Ghostly Talk. Yes, a Wednesday.
Actually, a special world on a scale of 1 to 10 right now. I think we had about 15.
Yeah.
Because this is a very special, special show.
A very special show. We don't do all that many special shows, but this is the month of special shows.
For some reason, like every single week, we're like just like run, work.
Yeah, so we're very proud and happy that that listeners will continue to enjoy such interesting material and keep coming back week after week and sometimes twice a week.
I think that's great. Hopefully, well, we might go further than that someday, but I know Doug's like his head's smoking right now. So
He's
had a very interesting day, the poor guy.
But I have to say that Ghostly Talk is broadcast live from the Haunted Winery in Warren, Michigan.
So we're getting used to that thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I was going to say Haunted Basement Studios, but that's old news.
Yeah.
And I, of course, I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And we have a very special guest today.
Yes, we do.
We don't know where this is going to go. We have no idea what's going to happen. It's one of those off-the-cuff things.
Well, let me tell you the story, because I know he's listening, so he'll hear this. We were driving on one of our trips, because we often go on trips, you know, and we went to, Indianapolis?
It was Indiana.
Or Indiana. Somewhere in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And Scott had gotten, you know, fresh from the store, this CD, and he goes, oh, this is an audio CD, they talk. And I go, what? How fun can that be? And he pops it in, and oh my gosh, I was enraptured for the entire length of, I didn't want to stop, I didn't want to get out when everyone was like, oh, we got to stop and go to the lavatory, or, it was just constant, I was just absolutely enthralled.
Yeah.
And it's rare that things can do that to me, so I was
a stickler with certain things.
Yeah, so I was extremely, extremely impressed. And so Scott L. went out and decided to ask the speaker if he would come and visit with us on Ghostly Talk.
Mm-hmm.
He said yes.
Yeah, he said
so
yes.
So this is the most exciting day, I think, of my life.
Yeah, I've been kind of floating around the winery all day long going, okay, what's going to happen tonight?
Because
what's going to happen?
I had just heard this audio album, last month or the month before?
Yeah.
And
I've been listening to I can pretty much talk, I guess. You know,
yeah. So. Let's go ahead and introduce him and bring him on the show.
I'm going to keep it simple. I was going to go through all this outlandish stuff, but I don't want to do that. I don't think Henry, I think we can just go right into this. Henry, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks.
Well, great. For those of you who don't know, I happen to know, I remember when I was in college, Black Flag. Huge band.
Mm-hmm.
Henry was there.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
He was touring worldwide. That's what's described on the audio album,
mm-hmm.
on the talk album.
I let you hear Get in the Van.
That's what
we're listening to. Yeah.
And oh my gosh, I was just enraptured. So that's obviously incredible. Since then, of course, or most recently, Henry is doing the Independent Film Channel.
Mm-hmm. Henry's Film Quarter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Henry's Film Corner. So you're out there, Henry, and it's a real pleasure, and thank you for coming on Ghostly Talk.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, we obviously, on the other end of the table here, as far as where we're sitting at, I've been a fan of Black Flag and the Rollins Band and everything you've been doing since I was a child. So thank you for all the years of pleasure you've given me, because it's been great. On top of that, one of the big things I wanted to ask you, Henry, if you could ask somebody, I've always wanted to ask a question. You've been all over the planet, Henry. You've been everywhere. I mean, this is one of the things you do. You do an average, I know, over like 100 to 125 shows a year. And you've been doing that for like 25 years almost for now. You've been doing that for a lot of people's lifetimes. Obviously, this is a paranormal talk show. And people have asked, what are you going to have Henry Rollins on for? Because, first of all, Henry Rollins makes people think. He's always made me think.
And that's the number one goal of the show.
That's our biggest
to try and make people think.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
You've always made me think about things. You've always made me evaluate things from both sides. And I got to be honest with you, you're probably about 95% responsible for the amount of intensity that I have today as far as just being a person, because that's what it's about, man. That's how I feel about things now is, you know, you always got to be intense. You always got to keep pushing it, keep working as hard as you can at it. And, the good things will come to you. But really what I wanted to ask you was just this, you know, could you tell us maybe like the craziest place you've been as far as maybe like natural. You have been to Egypt, for example. Am I correct?
I've been to Egypt. I'll be back there next month again with the military, but I was there the first time just by myself, just checking it out.
Mm-hmm. You were in Iraq also, weren't you? You were visiting
Iraq, Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait. Yeah, I've been all over the USO.
I'm just curious. I know I've heard you mention this before, but one of the big things, I mean, what's the attitude like out there right now in Iraq? Because I mean, we only get to see what CNN or any of these huge conglomerate corporate news people want us to see.
The guys and girls are, you know, they have their heads down and they're just trying to get through it. And morale is exceptionally high. I mean, these are very well-trained, highly focused individuals.
Yeah.
You know, they're the best Americans we have are in all these hell holes. And mm-hmm. So... you're not dealing with any, like, people who wilt under pressure. These are the, you know, real deal hardcore people out there. So they're rocking and rolling, basically. They're just getting through it. It's like about 130 degrees there during the day. It's in the 90s by 7 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So by the time sun's up, you're already kind of, your brain's already boiling. But the ones I talk to, they're just hanging in there. I didn't meet many people who were disgruntled, just people who had been there 14 months when they're supposed to be there 12, so they're a little, not the happiest about that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they're just, you know, hanging in there basically day to day, because it's in Iraq, it's always on. I mean, mm-hmm. There's no safe place in Iraq. The green zone is not safe. There's nowhere that's, you know, healthy to be in, so...
Mm-hmm. I know it's we've heard all types of stories, but I was really curious to see, you know, what your impressions were when you went out there.
Yeah, well, we're doing a lot of good things there. You know, they're trying to bring a lot of clean water and electricity to some of these cities, and you know, I get a lot of letters, you know, from guys who are over there, and that, you know, I met online yesterday a guy whose job it is to, you know, bring these villages fresh water, and he says that, you know, we have the water, but what stands in between us are insurgents. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, they're starving for water. We want to give it to them, but we can't get blown up in the process, so it's very frustrating. So I think you have a lot of really good people in a really bad place. If mm-hmm. we should be there or not is up for great debate. I think we should have not gone, but we're there. So since we are there, we have to support these guys until they're eventually hopefully pulled out.
And I think they're doing a fantastic job, and every time I hear of the, you know, insurgencies going on with, you know, folks are, you know, trying to blow up the troops and of all the countries that are over there trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I hear those efforts get redoubled, I think we're doing something right, because, mm-hmm. you know, they're pushing back for their own bizarre reasons that I don't completely understand, because I know they're a different culture and a different religion than I am.
Well, yeah, but you know, and if they came to your country to try and free you from democracy and freedom,
mm-hmm.
as insane as that sounds,
but everything
I
ever knew.
Understand that what we're putting across to them may, for some of those people, be as equally insane and untenable. Do you see what I mean?
Well, yeah. Right. I mean,
for me, I want nothing more than democracy and freedom. I love America, you know, and I like how we do business for the most part. You know, I like freedom. I like women getting to vote and run companies and, you know, not get stoned to death for having an adulterous affair or something crazy like that. On the other hand, you really have to understand where the other guys are coming from to deal with them. And I think sometimes there is a breakdown with on our side with the intelligence and trying to understand the motivation.
Well, yeah,
why are they blowing these people up? Well, they see you as invaders and they want you out. And so, well, we're doing a good thing. Well, not everyone agrees with you, obviously. So you have to understand where they're coming from and get beyond, well, they're just wrong and we're just right, which is obvious. But in order to beat these guys, you have to do more than just fight them. You have to get in their heads and see where they're coming from. And I think that is happening more, where you're getting real intelligence and an understanding of the way of the region. And I think that will make for an effective, you know, counterinsurgents. So, I unfortunately, these lessons learned take human lives and limbs. And that's always tough for us back home reading it and, you know, seeing the reports.
Well, yeah, that's a big thing, and that's the point right there. You're correct. You know, if you're raised and the only thing you know is tyranny, if that's the only thing you know, and then somebody comes and tries to change it all for you, you're going to react to
it. It's hard to change word processors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your company says, oh, you're going to grow, you're going to, like, learn everything on this word processor. Oh, no, we've just standardized on this other one. And you're like, huh? You know, I mean, it's hard to change word processors, let alone your whole way of
your
government. And for better or for worse, it's hard to take any culture and change it, even if it's for the better. I mean,
I think
Saddam is better in a jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't mind where his sons are either.
Right.
You know, I don't like those guys. And I'm not into the death penalty, but the fact that they accidentally bumped us into some bullets, I didn't lose any sleep there. And I think freedom is a much better deal than, you know, fundamentalist extremism or Christian extremism or Catholic extremism or any other kind of extremism.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to, I think with Iraq, it's going to be one of those things we'll probably understand it better in 20 years than we're understanding it now, unfortunately. And so, in the meantime, I just support the troops. You know, where I may have some disagreements with the Bush administration, the troops I have no problem with because they're good boys and girls doing a really insane job for an appalling pay scale. So, I support those guys. So, what else do you want to know?
Well, thank you.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, right, Henry, because like last summer we were at a wedding. As a matter of fact, your brother's wedding.
Yeah.
And a soldier was there, a gentleman who was part of I believe he was part of the Marines, and he was like all of like 20 years old. And I was 29 at the time.
That was a wake-up call to us.
Yeah, it was a real wake-up call. And this kid's like, yeah, you know, he just came back from what I understood from whatever run he had. And we talked about it for a little while, and I'm looking at this baby, more or less, to me, it seems.
Yep.
This young kid who is not all of, like, 20 years old. And when I was 20, I was busy, you know, playing in bands and running around the country and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And I look at this kid who's driven a tank, for example.
Mm-hmm.
This huge machine, which I'm like, dude, I've never done anything that righteous or that wild in my life as much as I've tried to. And there's this young man.
Yeah, but for a lot of these guys, mm-hmm. you know, their first major thing in their life, besides maybe, you know, losing their virginity or something, is Baghdad, where they never went to New York. They never went to a rock concert. You know, they've never took a backpack and went across Europe. They got out of high school or, you know, bummed around for a couple of years, and within 8 months of them signing up, they're rotated through Ramstein to Afghanistan or Iraq or Kuwait. And that's the story I always hear from these guys. All of a sudden, they're making very grown-up decisions. They're getting shot at. But they've never even been to Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've never even seen, you know, Ozfest or something. They've not had much kind of life just being a young, irresponsible person.
Mm-hmm.
Their first, you know, the most relevant thing is there's a gun in their hand, and it's 125 degrees, and they know four guys who are now dead.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be dealing with that when these kids come home for quite a while. This is a very vivid war. It's shot in, you know, it's done in the daytime. It's very graphic. It's very well covered. The motivations for being there are somewhat up for grabs in that World War II was good guys, very obvious. Bad guys, really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get them.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler sucks. He's got to go. This other thing, it almost has a Vietnam tinge to it because there's people debating it.
Mm-hmm.
And although there's no one going to be calling these kids coming home baby killers like in Vietnam, they will come home to a country that is super divided over this conflict, where America was not divided at all about World War II. Everyone, in fact, pitched in and went without so our boys could have, you know, rubber for the machines and, you know, food for this and what have you. So it's going to be very interesting to see the resultant fallout in attitude and morale and just how America fields this ball, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I say, you know, we give the kids, you know, the soldiers complete support. That's the only thing I can see to do is just to welcome them when they're home and, you know, tell them they did a great job. Because, you know, it's not like they get to choose where they go. They
exactly.
get to go where they're deployed. And so they're doing the best they can. And this is the stuff I've learned from doing five USO tours. and spending, you know, several days meeting, literally at this point, thousands of Marines, sailors, Air Force flyboys, Army, you know, infantry guys, and, you know, and their bosses. You know, I've met a lot of upper, you know, up the scale of command as well, you know, sergeant majors and whatnot. And it's been an interesting ride so far.
Well, I applaud you for going over there and helping entertain them to give them a small break from their horrific day to day.
They're worth it. You know,
they are.
I agree, 100%.
So you've been out to Iraq and Middle East on the USO tours and stuff, and I know you were in Europe for a long time because that was on the album that I heard. So what I'm wondering is places, interesting places. Let me throw some out real quick. Stonehenge, did you ever go see it?
No.
No? Not even.
I'm in England about three times a year, and I just I'm usually on tour, and I just never have the chance. I've driven by it. I've never gotten very close up to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that's one of the weird things that I think I would like to see eventually is Stonehenge, just because it's like got so much written about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just so
weird. Yeah, well, it's a cheap trip. I mean, it's not a, you know, getting to England is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
You should get over there.
We were going to go last year. Sort of fell through.
Ran out of money.
Money and time.
You didn't mention you're going to Egypt next month. Am I correct, Henry?
Yeah.
I've been
there before, but I'll be going. I'll have one day. I'll have a few hours in Cairo to get myself over to Giza, to where the Sphinx and the Great Pyramids are.
You know, we just had...
I was there a few years ago by myself.
We just had a gentleman named Dr. Robert Sach on last week, as a matter of fact, who's the gentleman who has devised the theory that the Sphinx is like over 10,000 years old as a result of water damage.
Very controversial theory.
But I wanted to ask you, I mean... And I've heard you talk about it before, but I really want to get the impression from you personally. When you walk up to something like the Sphinx or the Great Pyramid, I mean, what goes through your mind? Because I've never done it before. I've only read books. Go ahead.
I've seen a lot of those, you know, kind of places, like, you know, the Acropolis, the Wailing Wall, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as being blown away by something, where you literally just stand there with your mouth open, like...
Mm-hmm.
Truly awed was standing in front of the Sphinx and looking up at the Great Pyramid.
Yeah.
I mean, it is literally, it just kind of, you don't know what to say. You literally stand there and just kind of try to get your head around the hugeness and just the utter scale of either the Sphinx or the Great Pyramid. I mean, I had to walk almost a city block backwards just to get the damn pyramid in my camera. In fact, I had to go to one of the smaller pyramids to get a picture of the big pyramid. It's that big. It's about the size of a shopping mall. And the fact that it's handmade is, you know, it makes you wonder if maybe some people came down in a few flying saucers and a winch and got it together, because, you know, we're talking major tonnage here.
Well, yeah.
And the Sphinx is, you know, it's huge. And it just kind of sits there silently, you know, with a bit of its face gone. Apparently Napoleon's guys took a couple of pot shots at it. So, you know, you're standing in a place where, like, Patton stood, Alexander. I mean, talk about being part of a, you know, a place in history. Egypt and Giza, you know, especially, was the most ultimate experience I've had, having stood, you know, been all over Greece, Africa, Asia, South and Central America, etc. So far, Egypt has been the most kind of stunning.
I know I'm pretty obsessed with Egyptology and things like that, and I know that I wanted to ask you that, because I know you've been there before, and I wanted to see what you thought.
You should get out there sometime. It's easily one of those things you really must do in your life.
That's what I tell people.
It really must be done.
That's what I tell people all the time. I'm like, that's one thing I will do. I mean, as far as myself is concerned, that's one of the things that I have planned as far as long-term goals, is to get out to Egypt for a couple of weeks and just see it all. We'll try to see it all.
Yeah, you really should. And the Nile is beautiful, and, you know, you can take a boat on the Nile and live in the boat for it. That's what I did. I lived in a little room on a boat for a week. And, you know, you get off the boat, you go see stuff, you go back on, you sail up the Nile a little ways, and it was as cool as you had hoped it would be.
Oh, man. I'm definitely... Now I'm even more motivated now.
If we can possibly do it, we could go on with John West.
Yeah, we've been talking about going on with another gentleman. Is there any other place you've been that really was notable? It's much, well, maybe not as much as Egypt, but...
Well, I have a question. Actually, I want to mention a specific place. What about the Orient, like the Great Wall of China? And have you ever seen that, or have you toured in the Orient at all, or that kind of thing?
I haven't been to China. I was earlier this year. I was right down the road from Beijing when I was in Vladivostok, Russia. I took the Trans-Siberian Express across Siberia earlier this year, and I'm gonna. There's three different train rides. There's the Trans-Manchurian, the Trans-Mongolian, and the Trans-Siberian. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do one of the other two probably around January or February, and I think I'm going to do the Trans-Mongolian. And then, you know, check out Shanghai and go to Beijing. My goal is to get to Beijing before Starbucks does. That's what I want to do.
Well, you know they've probably got, like, whole, like, busloads of VPs and stuff over there now.
I would not be surprised. I'm sure you can go on Starbucks.com and find out. I would not be surprised if they're not in Beijing already. I mean, I saw them in Kuwait, you know, but it's kind of the in joke with myself is I got to get the, you know, Red Square, you know, I got to get the Beijing to Tiananmen Square before Starbucks does. I'm sure McDonald's is already there, but I just want to beat that damn coffee cup.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because I want to get your opinion on that, Henry. You're a coffee fan, obviously. You drink coffee. I love coffee myself. And we had Sid Haig, actually, on from The Devil's Rejects a couple weeks ago.
I just saw that movie a while ago. It was really fun.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. And Sid Haig mentioned Starbucks, too. I'm kind of glad you mentioned that. What do you think of their coffee? Because, I mean, I think it tastes like liquefied dirt myself. But I mean, what do you think about the whole? I mean, I'm talking about the regular coffee, not like the venti, cappy, latte, frappe, whatever chino.
Well, yeah, I drink black coffee.
Yeah,
and on tour, when I'm touring with the tour bus, we bring a freezer on the tour bus so we can, you know, we have a lot of vegetarian food we eat. And we buy coffee from one place called Pete's in California. And I own a lot of shares of Pete's stock, and they're hyperlinked to my website. I think it's the finest French roast I've ever had. In fact, I take it all over the world with me.
Excellent.
So that's the coffee I drink when I can. But if I'm in an airport on a layover and there's a Starbucks there, it's not the worst thing in the world compared to a lot of the swill that's available out there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can go with you on that. That's one thing I know Sid mentioned that a while ago, and we all were cracking up laughing because they seem to be taking over the world, unfortunately. Everywhere you go.
They're very well franchised. I mean, if only we could have found out 12 years ago and all bought stock like my accountant did.
Yeah.
They didn't keep it a secret.
I don't know what they did.
12 years ago, though, I was into other things. I wasn't in the corporate world or anything like that, so I didn't buy stuff. So I don't know.
Was there anywhere else that you've been to, Henry? I'm just curious if there's anything else that just blew you away. I'm just curious about that.
I'm sorry,
is there any place? Well, Doug, did you have a question?
No.
I look on your face like, hey man.
No, go ahead.
Was there anywhere else that you've been to, Henry, that you found really notable, like Egypt, for example? I mean, is there anywhere else you've been to?
Yeah, I mean, I think besides Egypt, as far as, you know, looking at things, you can't figure out how the hell they were made. The most mind-blowing place I've ever been to is Afghanistan.
Really?
And I've been there twice now, and I'm hoping to get back there in December of this year. And it's a very rugged, very beautiful country, and the people are very tough. You know, if you look at the long or short history of Afghanistan, they've been through a lot of invasions, a lot of war. They've been decimated, you know, many times. You know, Alexander, the Mongols, the Brits, the Soviets. It's just, you know, the Taliban. So it's just a rugged place, and I've been over it by airplane and by chopper with the military, and it's just a beautiful, strange place that I find myself thinking about every day. Like, I really am hoping to get back there again for, you know, to do some Christmas shows for the troops out there.
Mm-hmm. When you just in regards to that, you are going on. You got a couple of dates booked here. Well, you're leaving pretty quick here. I think after that. Well, you're going to be going out somewhere around this country. I think like tomorrow or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I have a fall tour speaking date starting in late September,
mm-hmm.
and it goes till basically Thanksgiving. When I have to come back here to my company and do a lot of office work for our year-end mail order stuff. So
yeah, you do, and you do have your own company, 21361. That's your company. That's your birthday too, by the way. That's some trivia.
Yeah, because we put out a lot of stuff that I've released. I put out a lot of books and DVDs and CDs, and we kind of sell them all out of here and distribute out of here. And
it's an independent.
Basically,
record.
I own all my own stuff, and I don't have to be compromised by a record label, pretty much. And so it's three of us here, so it's a very small company. But mm-hmm. at the end of the year, we get overloaded with mail order, or at least we hope we do.
Yeah.
And it takes all three of us, all hands on deck, working about a 9 to 12-hour day just to get everything wrapped up and sent out to everywhere all over the world.
So hurry, before the rush.
Yeah, before the, rush.
Before the Christmas rush. Get your speaking. At least the CD just blew me away.
Get in the van. You won an Academy Award for that, if I understand, Henry.
Yeah, I won a Grammy for that. Yeah.
Grammy. I'm sorry, not Academy Award.
Which I gave away.
You gave it away?
Oh my gosh. I don't really want a trophy for art, and after I saw Sheryl Crow walk away with like three of those things for that crappy music of hers, there's no way I wanted one.
Well, you said you gave it away. Did you just like throw it out into the sea, or did you give it to someone?
Oh no, I gave it to a friend of mine because at the time he had a house that had a fireplace in it that had a nice mantelpiece. I said it would look good on your mantelpiece.
Mm-hmm.
So how about we put it there? And he went, you want to give me your Grammy? I went, yeah, man, I don't want it.
Wow.
And so it's still there right now, actually. It's been 10 years, but it's still there.
Well, and it's taken me like about 10, 12 years to figure that out, too, Henry. As you know, we do this show. I'm a musician myself. And it's taken me, like I said, at least 10, 12 years to figure out that you really can't put an award or a dollar value on anything, in my opinion, as far as art's concerned, like you were saying a second ago.
No, because if you measure talent by units sold, then Britney Spears is great and John Coltrane sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's obviously not, at least half of that equation is not working for me.
Yeah, well, anybody who has a clue is going to know it's the other way around, too.
Right.
at least John Coltrane's great, and you can see that not all that glitters is always gold. So, if Miles Davis records ever went past half a million and matched up to Nickelback, then we'd be somewhere. So, and there's a lot of bands I've seen, in a room full of 50 people that easily blow away anything I've seen in the last 2 years of playing at festivals.
Well, yeah.
Like bands that just wipe the floor with, headlining acts.
Absolutely.
Like, just kill them. And so I've seen that all my life.
And that's one thing I've aspired to do. One of the big things we're doing here on Ghostly Talk now is we used to play music, and we decided to wipe that whole thing clean, and we basically pushed everything towards an independent music program for the show where we basically just take submissions from independent bands from all over the world at that and say, look, we'll play your music, and we'll advertise for you on our site and get people to go to your website.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you just got to dig what you like
mm-hmm.
and go with your heart. And unfortunately, some people are not, they don't have the courage, or they don't even know what they like. And what they like is what they're told to like. And that happens a lot. That's very American, to have your
mm-hmm.
culture assigned to you by NBC or Fox Network or what have you. Or, what looks good with half its clothes on. With a microphone, all of a sudden is a rock star.
Mm.
But you really have to find out what you like and go for that. And in Europe and other cultures and other countries, you see people really do have very defined taste, and they do read, and they go to museums, and they watch foreign film and independent film and strange things, where here a lot of people are just happy to see a Bruce Willis movie and pick up Mariah Carey, and not really venture forth into the world of like a Akira Kurosawa or Hitchcock or, an interesting read or an interesting thought. You know, like you guys have your show, the Ghostly Talk thing, where I'm sure you tackle the topic of paranormal activity,
mm-hmm.
and you know, stuff like that, stuff that's to the left of, you know, where some people may have to suspend their belief and kind of go with something even to entertain the idea itself.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be able to approach the idea, to be open to the idea of, like, my grandma's trying to talk to me through this spoon. You must be open-minded. I'm unfortunately very Nietzschean when it comes to all that. To me, when you're dead, and, you know, time to cheer up and, you know, get on with the living. But,
I don't know. I've seen too much other stuff, though. That's the thing for me.
I think we all.
I like to talk about it anyway.
But you make a great point, though, Henry. There is so much out there, and I mean this. There's so much out there.
Well, that's why the internet is, I think, a great battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Because the internet.
Well, it's just a great source for information, mm-hmm. and it's hard for bad guys to hide. Well, it is, you know, with men in chat rooms trying to be little girls, you know, hurting
yeah,
little kids.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as far as, like, politicians who seek to, you know, give mis- and disinformation, there's some, you know, guy on the internet getting to the bottom of it, using the Freedom of Information Act and, you know, having quite an audience that can't be censored because it's the internet. That I applaud. You know, entrapment of little kids by predatory pedophiles, none of us are into. But I'm just saying, with any advent of technology, there's the good and the bad, and you have to monitor the bad and applaud the good. But I think with the internet, the wellspring of information that's available, I mean, I love it. I'm on the internet. I have four computers, so one of them is always on about 24 hours a day. Because mm-hmm. there's pretty much nothing that doesn't interest me. I mean, you know, you guys are probably the same way. There's mm-hmm. a lot of interesting things, and you want to know at least all of it now. So,
well, it still blows me away. There's people out there that I still bump into. They're like, man, I got to find out this thing about this thing, and I don't know where to go. And I'm like, God, man, just type up Google, for God's sake. You'll get like 500,000 pages on that, every bit of information you need on there. It's like, it is a wealth of information.
A lot of people aren't all that interested. I mean, I don't understand not being interested in something. I'm rabidly interested in, you know, everything from history to pretty much anything. I mean, any good documentary, even if it's the history of yarn, if it's well shot and well written,
yeah.
I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish there was just more hours in the day to try and get through all the books I want to read in this life, you know?
That's how I feel, too. I've gotten to that point, too. I know we've all been kind of...
I'm working on the 26-hour day.
Yeah, we're trying to get this 26-hour day pushed through.
Yeah, I want Congress to get on that real fast. Speaking of independence...
Well, when my jihad comes through and I take over America, it's going to be a 30-hour day.
Oh,
and you're going to get 6 hours off to be in a well-lit, comfortable room just to be left alone to read and enhance your intellect. And
so
America will be a stronger and more peaceful place because of it.
So enhancing your intellect, that means that room does not have a TV in it, I suppose.
Well, there's good things on TV, but you'll be assigned 6 good hours
mm-hmm.
to make, you know, to use your mind, to read a book, to write an essay, to... have an interesting discussion. And I think the more Americans know, the better off we'd all be.
It'd be
a safer, more tolerant country. And I think Americans suffer from their, you know, that they don't travel as much mm-hmm. as they should. They don't read as much as they should. They don't investigate other cultures, which what we talked about before,
yeah.
where you got to see where other people are coming from so you can really understand where they're coming from. Otherwise, you're just saying I'm wrong, you know, he's right, or vice versa, and you're not getting anywhere. You're just kind of being a tough guy with your fists up in the corner, and you can't be, you know, like there's people in the Ku Klux Klan, you cannot reason with these people.
Nope.
They just won't come to the table, get the gills out of their neck, and, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're just not going there, and so there'll never be any progress made with some of these people, and so... I always strive for a more, you know, kind of progressive way to treat people, because they'll come along if you give them an option and some encouragement.
Well, that's the thing, and there's a gentleman that I've listened to. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, that's one of the things that I like about the internet is that with the, for example, the podcasting craze that's going on now.
Mm.
Amazing stuff, and you can get it in such incredibly accessible things as, you know, the Podcast Alley and iPodder. Adam Curry, by the way, and sort of like pushed for its invention, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But even iTunes, mm-hmm. the 99 cent a song place,
yeah.
has an entire section devoted to just podcasts, which are free,
mm-hmm.
even through iTunes.
Yeah.
And the variety. That's what I don't get when I turn on my radio. And that's what I don't get.
Yeah, well, I think radio, at least terrestrial radio, is,
right.
you know, is going to have to change when we see eventually what satellite radio is going to be. I mean, right now, until Howard Stern makes the leap where, you know, a lot of Americans will get satellite radio because of Howard Stern,
mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be, you know, we're all waiting for the next few months to see what happens. So I have a show starting on the Sirius Network later this year, and I'm curious, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a normal radio show last year, which I really loved.
Yeah.
I just don't have time to do it this year. But I'm interested to see what happens with that and the fact that the most successful thing in the music industry since the CD has been the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
It's saving the music industry. And hopefully it makes people listen to music again. And it makes bands realize they can't put out an album with one good song and nine duds.
Because the only one people will buy is the one.
Well, people are going to cut around the fat and they're going to eat the meat.
Uh-huh.
And now that they have an option, you know, it's like, you know, advertisers beware. Here's TiVo. I love that. I don't have it, but I like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the idea of the consumer finally getting an option that just isn't another version of here's a new way to buy this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think there's definitely progress being made, you know, here and there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the big thing for us, too. I mean, obviously, we do on this show. We've been doing this show for almost, we're pushing our fourth year right now, and it's always been free. We've always broadcasted this show out.
Well, yeah.
So we broadcast and archive the show for free, including this archive we're going to have of you tonight, Henry. We're going to put this up on our show, and people can mm-hmm. download it for free. They can get it off their iPod for free. I don't know if you've been on iPod yet.
And that's about the right price. You know, that's all you should
do. For what we do,
like
yeah.
yeah
not for what you do, but for
we're proud to do it that way, too. We do this because we love
well,
it.
Well, no,
do,
I mean, just
know?
This kind of exchange, this kind of information
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and access to it should be free. I mean, what price would you put on this?
Well,
so the fact that it is free is now we're talking. You know, this
mm-hmm.
is this kind of attitude and this kind of technology could be the start of a very helpful revolution that in this country could actually save lives. You know, where young people can connect with young people and hopefully keep each other off dope. Or get an awareness as to the downfall of someone who, you know, plays around with alcohol and tobacco, which to me is, you know, I'm not a prude, but to me, those kind of common toxins are what Americans just keep themselves stultifyingly mediocre with. They
mm-hmm.
keep themselves down. It's not even like they're being oppressed. They do it to themselves. And, you know, they keep them, and I'd like to see a whole bunch of young people kind of wising up finally and going, nope, not for me. That was my father's mistake, not mine.
That's a big thing. I just quit.
And hopefully with this kind of communication, maybe some people get a little sharper and they're able to, I don't know, kind of beat the man.
It took me a while to figure that out. Again, another thing, too. I just quit drinking completely like a year ago. I gave it up completely. I don't touch this stuff anymore. And I'm 30 now. So it took me a little bit longer to figure it out than a lot of people have, and I agree with you. I hope there are a lot of people, like younger people, the younger generation. We come in contact with them a lot, fortunately, who are into the subject of the paranormal or thinking, you know, a lot more deeper thinking than, you know, what's going to be on Channel 4 tonight, you know,
TV
whatever,
show.
What they have to do. We come in contact with a lot of people that are very forward-thinking in that aspect, and they don't concern themselves with partying every weekend or finding where the next good score is going to be, so
there's
to say.
There's so much more out there.
There's so much more out there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. Our guitar player came up with this idea a few years ago. He goes, there's so much good stuff, like good music in the world, and not even anything else, just music.
Mm-hmm.
That you could listen to music 24 hours a day for your whole life and not even be able to say, I've heard 1% of all the good music that's ever been made. I mean, there's so much good stuff. There's so many great books, so many great movies, plays, ideas, and places to go that you really have to at some point prioritize, because there's so much great stuff going on, you're never going to even get your foot wet. You know, you're not even going to be able to wade in. You'll be, you know, you need 5 or 6 lifetimes just to kind of become an intermediate.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that a lot of people don't even get out of their own area code for their entire life, and they eat at that place every week,
mm-hmm.
It's too bad, but it's very American, and that's something that should change someday.
Hopefully, this kind of stuff will help.
One of the things that you said, one of the things you said somewhere, Henry, that I totally identify with in regards to everything we've talked about as far as the music and art itself is, you said, you know, when I hear a song from an artist that I like, I got to hear everything from them. I got to hear all their albums. I got to know everything about them. I got to know what they ate on Tuesday. I have to know everything about that. And that's the reason I don't sleep at night anymore, because I do that now myself. Because
I do the same
thing.
When
I hear a cool song, I'm like, man, that is really great. I have to go out and buy all the records. I have to buy every, you know, whatever every press they've been in. I have to read that. I have to do this. I have to do that. And I really lose sleep over that now. But I still do it. I love to do it. And that's a really, that's something I really identify with, because I wish more people were.
It's
like
really
that,
interesting, because that sounds a lot like studying, but when you're in school, you don't want to do it.
No.
And then when you're an adult, or when you're beyond school and you're in a career and stuff like that, you'll sit there and do it for hours.
Yeah.
I know.
All I do is sit around studying and reading now.
Well.
Yeah.
I think that because
we know you have to get going, Henry.
Yeah, you had said. That you've got lots of stuff to do, and I know it. Oh my gosh, an upcoming show. You're leaving out to go on
Speaking tour.
Mm-hmm. So you've got lots of stuff to do. I have to say thank you so very, very, very much.
Yeah, thank you, Henry, really
for being on our show. Just so you know, Ghostly Talk is distributed under the Open Content License. And that means that not only can people obtain it, mm-hmm. but they can copy it and give it to their friends.
Yeah, they can put it on CD.
As well they should.
All
right, you guys, it was good talking to you. I'm going to get back to my stuff here.
Yeah.
Hey, Henry,
can
you hold the line for like 2 seconds? We're just going to close out real fast. Can you hold on for like 2 seconds? Will that be all right?
Okay.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Let's close out the show, guys. Will, take us out of here real quick.
I have to say, thank you everybody for listening,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be back again on Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Time on Pioneer Radio Network. We're, of course, Ghostly Talk, and our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. Henry Rollins, thank you so much, and your website, of course, is linked up right on our homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Henry
Rollins. 21361.com. I always have 21361.com. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's permanently on our website, so you can go there anytime you want.
So we'll see y'all Sunday. Thank you so much, everyone.